KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM present Candidate Forum, your chance to hear from and talk to candidates running for Emporia City Commission and USD 253 school board positions. Candidate Forum is brought to you by Justice Painting, serving the area's painting, epoxy floor coating, and concrete polishing needs. By Ray Roofing Incorporated. Call 342-7576 and let their roofing experts go to work for you. By Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area. Contact Geotech for all of your land surveying needs. And ESB Financial. ESB's notify alerts, real-time alerts for online and mobile banking. Call 342-3454 or visit esbfinancial.com to learn more. And now, today's Candidate Forum.
Good morning. Welcome to KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com for our final Candidate Forum of the 2023 general election cycle. I'm Chuck Samples, your host here today, as we finish profiling and giving you information about the views of our USD 253 school board candidates. We'll introduce them here in a second. As you've heard, our sponsors here today are ESB Financial, Geotech, Justice Painting, and Ray Roofing. And we are going to have ourselves a very interesting program here today. We've already had more requests for questions with this particular forum than we have with the other three combined. So we're going to do our best to step up our public side of things here today and get to those questions as much as we possibly can here this morning. Our guests, our candidates here today, and we'll just simply go around the table. Art Gutierrez, incumbent running for USD 253. Art, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
I'm glad to have you, and thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Linda Forbes, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
So far, so good. Thank you for joining us today.
Okay.
Christy Grant, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing well. You?
So far, so good.
Good.
Glad to have you in. Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Good deal. And Sam Tovar, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Just another hectic morning.
Just another hectic morning. Sam's has been more hectic than most, but we'll leave the details off air here at this point in time. So what we'll do, as we've done here for years, really, is we'll open with an opening statement. We'll give our candidate several questions, both from us and from you. We'll have a closing statement here right around 11 o'clock here this morning, and we will get to as many questions as we possibly can. Usually about 10:30 or so, we start opening things up for questions, and we'll see how close we get to that here today. And we do have a four-segment show here this morning, as we have for a while. And also don't forget, too, that once we are done here today, the program will go into the KVUE.com audio vault here this week. The other three programs involving one program for Emporia School Board and two for Emporia City Commission candidates, they're already in. So we will be – basically, we have those in the audio vault at KVUE.com for you to go back and listen and really do some comparisons and contrasts and to become a more informed voter with the general election coming up November 7th. Advance voting is underway. The advance vote offsite election opportunity for you is Saturday at the Fairgrounds Anderson Building. And with that in mind, we'll go ahead and get started here today. Basically, we're going to do this in alphabetical order, and we're going to rotate who answers the questions first as we continue here this morning. So with that in mind, for our opening statement, we will start with Linda. And Linda, again, welcome. And let me just ask the basic question, what is prompting you to run here this election cycle?
I've always been very interested in education, and I thought it was exciting to enter the school buildings. I worked for 35 years. And I was in a lot of classrooms, and I really enjoyed learning how the teachers taught the kids and what was important, and I took up some of that. And I do teach, I've been teaching piano in my home for 50 years, or over 50 years, and I'm helping students at the college and with their music. I was meeting teachers, parents in my neighborhood, and the grocery store, and they were talking about the school. And they said, we are really concerned about reading and their math skills. And that's the kind of things I was hearing. And they were wanting more teaching the basic math, reading, writing, so their kids had a good foundation. And that's what prompted me just to start running.
Okay. Well, welcome again, and thank you for your time. Christy, good morning, and what's prompting you to run for election this cycle?
Well, let's see. There's a variety of reasons, but the main one would be is for students, like it's – and teachers, really. I feel like that being a part of this community that's so tight-knit, you know, we're not – I'm not from here. I'm not from Emporia originally, but, man, we were just welcomed with open arms. So, you know, to be able to be a part of that and to help – you know, help those students become better adults, to be very, you know, productive members of societies. And the best way to do that, I feel like, is to be on a school board. So, you know, I want to be able to, you know, help with that. Let's see, the education integrity, you know, the student and parental involvement. You know, I think it's very important that parents stay involved in their kids' education. You know, I feel like there should be an open communication line there between parents and schools, because they're just as an integral part of the child's well-being as, you know, the school is as well. So, yeah, that's one of the many reasons.
Okay, good deal. Welcome again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Art, what's got you running for re-election in your case?
Well, excuse me. This will be my third term if I'm elected, so I've served for 8 years. I feel like there's some work still to be done, a lot of great things in progress that I want to be a part of. Additionally, I still have a daughter in school, so preserving the great education I received in USD 253 for future generations is one of the goals of mine. Also, I currently serve as the president of the Kansas Association of School Boards, and I'll be going off of that board and becoming actually the past president. So I still have a year of service, but I can't do that if I'm not reelected. So again, just a lot of stuff that I'd like to see finish. We'll be finishing up the bond project next year. So I've met some wonderful people in education, educators, students, staff, board members from across the state. I enjoy advocating for public education at the state level and at the national level and in Emporia. So I'm passionate about that, and I'd like to be able to continue to do that.
Okay. Art, thanks again. Appreciate it. Sam, what's got you running for re-election?
Oh, thank you. I'm excited about Emporia. I'm a big proponent of public education. I was educated here pretty much as I could be. I went through K through 12 here in Emporia. I went to Emporia State University, where I received my bachelor's degree. If they had a medical school, I would have done it here in Emporia, but they did not, so I had to go to KU for that. Went to Minnesota, and a job opened up back here in Emporia. I come back to my hometown, which I love. This community has taken our family. It's been really good for us. It's not without its ups and downs, of course, through our years. But for those of you who have been in Emporia all your life, you would know our family. We've been fingers kind of everywhere. I feel in giving back to the community. You know, and what better way? You know, I look at the schools, I walk through the school hallways, and I see faces that honestly look a lot like me. You know, they're first generation new immigrants here. You know, I was born in the United States, but some of these kids are just like me, and some are transplanted just like my siblings. But we're here, and I so want these kids to understand the value of education, and I so believe in public education. But I do see some of the struggles, and I want to help, and I feel I can help.
Okay, Sam, thank you. Appreciate it. Our next question on our list here is the work and life experience that would serve you well as you continue your run for office, at least through November 7th. And Christy, I'll start with you on that. Talk about your work-life experience.
Oh, well, I've had a variety of different work and life experiences, so I know that I'm adaptable, so I can learn well very quick. I've worked in medical field, dental field, legal field. Right now I'm working in a nonprofit field. I've worked in the university level, so I know that I can work well with others, and I know that I'm, you know, open to communication, and I'm open to compromise, and I'm opening to, like, really, really listen. And if I see that, or if I hear that there's any kind of struggle or there's an issue to be had, I'm a proponent for finding a solution. And then finding that solution and then going forward with that solution to try to make a path that's going to better, you know, help our students and our teachers. and, you know, and everybody in Emporia, because we know that when our kids go up through this system and they graduate out of the high school, and whether it be that they go into the military or trade school or they go into college or just go into work life, to know that they've got a quality education to be able to back them no matter what path they decide to go on. So I feel like with all the experience that I've had in all my work, you know, all my work past, I feel like that can really give me a, you know, a diverse, you know, I can't even think of the word now off the top of my head, but you know, I really feel like that it can give me a better angle at working with people, because I've worked with many different pasts, many different, you know, ideas and all that. So.
Okay. Good deal. Art, how about you? Talk about your work-life experience.
You know, my major one is that I attended Emporia Schools, and like Sam, I attended Emporia State University, and I taught at Emporia State University for about 10 years, and so I have kind of education in my blood, so I bring that experience. You know, one of the things I remember is that I would teach students, primarily first-year students, freshmen or sophomores, and I saw intelligent students who weren't able to articulate themselves in writing or in speech from all over. But I that was one of the reasons I wanted to get involved, to make sure that they are getting that foundation in language arts and in math and in speaking, and try to incorporate that into my teaching so that while I had them, I could help, you know, them become better speakers, better writers. And, you know, just like anything, the more we practice something, the better we're going to be at it. Additionally, a board is different than a lot of things probably people have been associated with. We're one of seven. I currently serve on four boards, and they're all different. There's none that are the same. There's different power dynamics. There's different priorities. There's different maybe customs or cultures on the board. So with my 8 years experience, I think all of that, with my education experience, my board experience, I think I bring a logical, common sense perspective.
Okay. Sam, let's talk about your work-life experiences that would serve you well here in your, if you get elected here in November.
Sure. Probably my biggest is just my background in family medicine. I visit, I talk with a lot of parents. I visit and talk with a lot of kids, and I'm constantly trying to figure out, well, how can I motivate you? How can I motivate you specifically for better education, to put that as a priority there? I've been constantly in my years here involved in various community services, and so I just am in contact with a lot of people. I think that's my biggest strength, is I know a lot. I enjoy talking with people. I want to support this community, and speak with me.
Okay. And Linda, talk about your work-life experience. You did a little bit in your opening answer, but maybe you can expand on that a little if you want to.
Okay. All right. Well, I also went to Emporia High School, and then I attended Emporia State University. I felt that it was a great experience to be in education, and when my youngest daughter started kindergarten, that's when I started working for the USD 253, and I was in a lot of classrooms, and I felt so much energy when you would walk into a school building. The elementary schools were exciting. It's so exciting to help a kindergarten student learn how to hold a pencil, how to count, and learn their ABCs, and it was so fundamental. And then I watched the students as they got further on, and I followed some of them, and if they had struggles at the very beginning in kindergarten and first and second grade, they were behind and they were frustrated, and you could see that on their faces, and I was really concerned. And so I've got the opportunity to sit with groups of kids that were struggling and working on things, and this was in elementary schools. When I met them in middle school later, when I was there for 10 years, if they were still having trouble, that was very, very hard then. And as they went into high school, it even got harder. So I know that I've used reading and writing and math all my life, in every part of my life. And it's just like when I started teaching piano, I was about 20 years old. And I had to give them a solid foundation, how to sit, how to hold their fingers, how to get, you know, just even follow the music with their eyes and not depend on their fingers. And it had to be solid. If it took years to get there, it did. And that was okay. So that's one of the reasons. And also that I have met a lot of parents, because if I've been teaching for 50 years, and sometimes I had 20 students after school and during the week, not at once. Okay. So that would be horrible. But anyway, so I've been visiting with teachers because a lot of them have retired, and they told me why they retired, and they love teaching, and I have learned from some of the best teachers being in the rooms. I don't know how many classrooms I've been in. I maybe 50, maybe 75, and I've there's a lot of different ways to teach students, and they have a unique perspective. And so by listening to them, I ask them, what do they do? What do they like to do? What works in their classroom? So that's what I'm bringing.
Okay. Let's take our first break. It is 1021 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Linda Forbes, Christy Grant, Arcaturas, and Sam Tovar as we continue our USD 253 candidate forum here this morning. 1021 on KVUE, live and local.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
KVUE candidate forum continuing, 1024 on KVUE live and local and KVUE.com. We have Arcaturas, Sam Tovar, Linda Forbes, and Christy Grant as our guests in studio here today. And we will start getting to your questions here in just a little bit. A question that does come from KVUE News is really what we're going to use to start our conversations on the different topics at hand. And that's the biggest challenges facing the district at this time. Art, I'll start with you.
I think one of the biggest challenges we have is increasing student achievement, and I think it involves a variety of factors, and it's going to take time, so that makes it more challenging. I know, you know, everybody wants to see our students do better, our community, our parents, our students want to do better, but I think that's a positive of it. We've got new curriculum that we purchased, and teachers are getting training on, and I'm excited about where that's going to go. I think that's going to lead to increased test scores across the board, pre-K to 12. You know, another piece of that is chronic absenteeism. You know, really stressing to parents the value of having your kids in school consistently. You know, we can't teach them if they're not there. You know, we really want to focus on different things that affect student achievement, and those are just a couple. Some other challenges we have are teacher retention and recruitment. And, you know, across the country, this is an issue. In addition to teachers, paras, everything is a challenge right now to get fully staffed and be able to serve kids, you know, where they're at. So having you know, some great pairs in the classroom to assist a teacher to kind of help take that workload off, to work with some small group instruction is critical. So we really want to focus on doing that. And again, that talks about benefits, compensation, culture. I think the bond is a nice piece to bring in some exciting environments for them to work in, classrooms, whether it's gymnasiums, whatever it is. So we're doing lots of things. And the last piece is our health insurance, you know, getting that under control. I can tell you that over the years, we've really focused on putting money into pay, because that affects all of our employees. Not all of our employees take our insurance. So to be fair, what we would focus on was putting it into pay and not so much into insurance. So now we need to bring that back into balance and put more money into the insurance and still put additional dollars into pay. Since I've been on the board, we've been increasing starting teacher pay as much as we can. And I think we're up $4,000 or $5,000 from when I first came on the board. And that's a goal. We continue to try to increase teacher pay every year, but you know, it takes dollars to do that. So, one last thing I want to talk about is our fully funding special education. I'll bang that drum every chance I get. Right now we would stand to receive a little over $1 million if the state or the federal government would fully fund special education. So this is critical to our community, to our schools. Just imagine what we could do with that money, whether we put that into pay, whether we put that into curriculum, facilities. There's just lots we can do. So, again, fully funding special education is very important.
Okay. Sam, how about you? What do you see as the biggest challenges facing the district right now?
Sure. And top of my list, and I have it written down, so I'm not copying you, Art. I have it right here. Teacher recruitment, teacher retention. You know, we got to support the teachers that are here putting their all to for these students. That really is important, to have good, motivated teachers, keep them happy, keep them loving their job. You know, this is something that they put effort and time in. They want to help these kids. Student motivation, and part of that is student just discipline in the class, because nothing's going to make a classroom harder for a teacher as if she can't control her classroom. So I think that's a challenge there. There's a certain distrust. This is outside looking in, so I'm not sure if this is particularly correct. This is just how I see and how I perceive things. There's a bit of distrust between parents and the administration. You know, are they listening? Are you listening? Are you doing the most you can for my kid? I would like to be part of that, trying to increase, I guess there's this word called transparency, right? Are we talking enough between the two groups? I think the biggest challenge, though, is this academics. You know, we talk about reading and writing. I was looking at our stats, 19% proficiency math, 20-some, 28% proficiency reading. Looking through the years, we were better a decade ago, you know, and it just seemed to really drop down in the mid-teens. It's kind of been flatlined there. And I'm thinking, oh, 19 and 28%? Oh, that's terrible. We got to do better than that, and that's going to take effort, and that's going to take time, and I don't think there's an easy fix. I'm just being honest. It's going to take a culture flip. We're going to have to really try to get these kids and the teachers to buy in. Everyone, the community has to buy in, and we're just going to have to realize that academics are important.
Okay. Linda, from your perspective here, what do you see as the biggest challenges facing the district at this time?
Well, I did have things written down, and I agree with Art, and I agree with Sam, and so I could just say the same thing again. But what I wrote on my paper, I said more transparency. I get teachers wanting more support, and they're not sure that everybody is listening to them, but they are so upset when they don't seem to have control in their classroom, and that has to do with discipline. And they said, we can't do what we wanted to do because we're always interrupted with something, and we need to be able to teach in the room our basic subjects that we want and have the time to do that. But we also need help. We cannot handle all the students. We need another person. We have actually need more than one person to help us in the classroom, because there are some kids that are really struggling and then they cause some trouble, and that's usually what happens. And so we have to be prepared, and the money that we need to spend could go to teachers' aides, paras, So those teachers can do what they love. And I've listened to teachers, and they were so upset that they weren't sure how long they would stay. So that was something that was really bothering me. So I want to know that they have a listening ear, and I'm listening, and I will not say their names, but I will say what they're thinking about. Parent involvement is very important, and transparency in everything. What is being taught in the classroom? I would like to know the not just the name of the curriculum, but I would like to know what's being taught, and be really informed. So it's a challenge for students to learn, and some of them don't have backing with their parents, and I know that, and I've watched that happen. And the more parent involvement we have with their own children really helps them out a lot. So supportive teachers, transparency, focus on the basics again, respect the teachers, and make sure they have a voice because they do know what they need in the classroom.
Okay. Christy, how about you? What do you see as the main challenges facing the district right now?
I think I can echo what everybody here has said and what everybody said on Thursday as well. You know, it's, you know, recruitment and retention of teachers. But I think the biggest thing regarding that recruitment and retention of teachers is also their health care, what health care benefits they have. And, you know, I've had numerous conversations with some friends of mine that are teachers in the district, and it seems like one of the many frustrations that they have is how much they have to pay out of pocket for that.
Right.
So I kind of feel like maybe there could be something done about that. You know, I know that, I know that Jeremy spoke about that a little bit on Thursday, but, you know, I really feel like that needs to be a priority. I think one of the things that you're going to do is be able to retain those, the staff just in general, is that if you give them good benefits that they can afford. You know, so, I mean, it's a lot to pay somebody $15 an hour and then they're having to pay, you know, at least one of their whole paychecks just in health coverage, you know, and any of those benefits. So, you know, I think one of the things that we could do to try to help retain people is to maybe give them proper benefits to help them stay, you know. So, you know, another thing, too, is student achievement, obviously, and the absenteeism. You know, I think it's important that parents understand. And teachers too, you know, everybody needs to understand that education is important, you know, and that their kids are getting the quality education that they deserve, you know. So I think that those are probably the biggest things that I would see from the outside looking in. Obviously, I haven't been, you know, in the thick of it like Art has or the other ones have, you know, but, you know, I just feel like from the outside looking in and listening to people, that's, you know, one of the things to help kind of retain them is probably to help them get a better benefits package so they can afford it.
Yeah. Understood. Okay. Well, let's take our second break here on KVOE's Candidate Forum. Christy Grant, Sam Tovar, Linda Forbes, and Art Gutierrez joining us here in studio. When we come back, we'll start working through our list of listener questions that have been submitted here as we continue Candidate Forum. 1033 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com, live and local.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
Does your home or business need a refresh, but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa Cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit ESBfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
1036 on KVUE and KVUE.com. This is our final candidate form of not only the USD 253 slate of candidates, but also basically our run of four candidate forms here today comes to an end. And we're pleased to have Sam Tovar, Linda Forbes, Christy Grant, and Arca Terris joining us here in studio. We've gone through some of our questions, but given the number of questions that we've gotten from the public here over the last couple of days, we're going to start in with the list that we've already received. And first question that is on that list goes to Sam first. Since announcing your candidacy, how many board meetings have you been able to attend? What's been your impression of, say, the meetings that you have been able to attend, if any? And are there any specific agenda items that maybe you've noticed that you would have brought a different perspective to the conversation?
Sure. Okay, as far as board meetings, I know this is kind of a fishing question, so I understand the question there. And so I can tell you that, no, I don't attend the board meetings. I'm not on the board. But I have reviewed the minutes, and I think that's important to do. And that, for me, as in my current place in life, that's the best use of my time. You know, I can review minutes real quick. I can get a good sense of what's going on in meetings. And I see that, generally speaking, most issues are 7-0. There's 7-0 votes, right? So to me, that tells me that a lot of work is happening behind the scenes. And that's where I think the work needs to be done and should be done. Yeah, you know, I think meetings should be pretty to the point. We discussed this and this and this. And now I'm talking as a person who's been in oodles and oodles of meetings all my life. And so, yeah, I do look to those minutes just to review. The executive sessions, I think, is where the action happens. And unfortunately, I'm not privy to those meetings. And so I don't really have too much to add to this. But, yes, I've been keeping track about what's been going on at the board meetings. I get a good sense of how the meetings run. And I look forward to being part of those executive sessions if elected.
Okay. Linda, how about you? Have you been able to attend any meetings? And if so, what strikes you about the meetings that you've attended?
Well, all in all, I have attended meetings before I decided to be a candidate. But Wednesday nights is when I teach some piano. Of course, if I become elected, I will change my schedule. I have reviewed the minutes. I have watched board meetings online, and that's very helpful. But I do understand, like Sam says, that almost everything, when it's voted on, I mean, it's already been discussed. They've hashed everything out, so you don't hear that part. So even when you attend meetings and board meetings, you don't hear that part. So I can't really honestly say that I know what goes on behind the closed doors.
Sure.
But it needs to be that way, because that would be a really long discussion to listen to for anybody.
Understood. So, how about you, Christy?
So I, like Sam, have reviewed, you know, minutes, and I watch online. I don't go actually in person and watch, but I do make sure that I make a point to see it online. So I try to keep abreast of what's going on. And, you know, I do feel like a lot of those discussions are had previous. So, and then what's ever done in executive session, you can't be a part of anyway.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. So to be a part of any of those deeper conversations, it's one of the things that, you know, I'm willing to do if I get elected in November. So, yeah.
Okay. Art, this question in on its face does not apply to you, because you've been in all these meetings as an incumbent, but I guess maybe I could ask you any specific agenda items that looking back that you'd bring a different perspective on?
No, I would say I feel like we do a good job trying to discuss the issues that are on the agenda. I know that I personally ask questions. A lot of times I know the answer to the question, but I want to get the information out to the public. So that's part of my strategy when I'm at that table, is I want people to know we've thought through all the options. We've thought through what can we do outside the box to address this challenge. And you're right. If we had all of those questions, it would be monumental meetings. And, you know, we want to respect everybody's time, but we also want to give time to the importance of education. So I know a lot of times the votes are 7-0, but I think if you look at the issues that we're facing, everybody agrees with them. So I don't want that to be a knock that we're not, you know, 5-2 or 4-3 sometimes, because we are sometimes. But, you know, there is a lot of work that goes on, and, you know, we are all asking questions all the time, so we're informed. And, again, I do my best to restate those questions and get those answers in front of the public when I'm at the board table.
Okay. Next question involves the importance of listening to teachers and apparently the questionnaire that's put out, I guess, every election cycle from the Emporia NEA. And a question comes up that every candidate has spoken about the importance of listening to teachers, and it puts out there, why was it important or not important to complete the questionnaire from the Emporia NEA? Linda, I get to start with you on this one.
Well, I did answer the questions that the Emporia Gazette had, and I wrote all those things down. And when I got the NEA, or E-N-E-A, questionnaire, there were a lot of questions I wasn't privy to know what was going on, so I would have left some of the questions blank. But then I thought to myself, okay, I'm not representing the union, teachers union, so I wasn't really sure why I was sent those questions. I'm not representing them. I'm representing the teachers, the students, and the parents. And so I didn't think it was necessary. Some of the questions were some of the same that I did at the Gazette. So, okay.
Okay. Christy, what's your thoughts on that? I guess first question is did you fill out the questionnaire, and why or why not?
I did not fill it out because I did not receive it.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's a big problem. Yeah. Sure. I mean, it's, you know, I got people out there in, you know, writing newspaper pieces that are calling me out specifically for that. And I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. I never got it. So,
okay.
You know, so I can't say that. But, I mean, I agree. We, you know, we're not representing the union. We're representing the teachers and the students and the children, you know, the kids.
Okay. So. I'm going to ask a question here of the two of you because of the answer that you just gave about representing the union versus the teachers. What is, in your mind, what's the difference between the two, representing the teachers versus representing the teachers' union? And, Linda, I'll start with you on that.
Well, what is the union for? So, usually, when I was in school, I don't think I belonged to the union at all. And I thought it was more like for insurance, in case you got in trouble with parents and you need some backup by an attorney to represent yourself. And that was what it was explained to me.
Okay.
And also the union would fight for some things for the teachers, but that's about all I knew about the union.
Okay. How about you, Christy?
Yeah.
What's their difference point?
Right. Some of the conversations that I've had with some teachers that are currently here, they're not even with this union. Mm-hmm. So I don't. Yeah. So that's why I say that, you know, I represent the teacher. I want to represent everybody, not just a select group that maybe decide to go with this union. It's a broader picture. It's a broader spectrum of, you know, who I want to, you know, who I want to help and who I want to be a voice for.
Okay, understood. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
Art, what is did you wind up filling out
I did.
What was the reason behind that for you?
I just think it's important that we're all very upfront about what we believe in, what we want to fix, or what our issues are. And to me, you know, who else besides the teachers are going to go and vote, right? Because this directly affects them. So I just want to share my thoughts and ideas. And if you agree with me, great. And if you don't agree with me, great. But at least you know where I stand on things. So that's, to me, is a little bit of transparency. To the ENEA, we do interest-based bargaining in our district each year. So when we work on the master contract for certified teachers, ENEA is at the table bargaining with the district. So they're the face of the teachers in our district at that bargaining table. And so you're right, not every teacher is a member of the union, but all the benefits the ENEA gets affects all of your certified teachers. So I feel like we are constantly working to maintain a great relationship with ENEA. I've been on interest-based bargaining and sat at that table, and, you know, sometimes there's contentious issues. But, you know, every year we you know, we work to negotiate to benefit our teachers and our students. And to me, it was just important. If somebody sends me a questionnaire, I'm going to fill it out.
Understood. Okay. Sam, you get to answer up now. Did you fill out the survey from ENEA, and what was your thought process, either yes or no?
Sure. My thought process is more complicated than yes or no. And so I looked at it. I read it. I researched it because I always want to know who's putting the paper in front of me and what are they standing for and what are they trying to get at? What are they trying to understand from me? And, you know, I came to the conclusion, I asked around because I do have a lot of friends who are teachers. I have family members who are teachers. And I go, what's your opinion of the NEA? And, you know, it's a bit mixed. I think at one point in time as I was researching, they were nonpartisan. They were nonpartisan at some point in time. And I think in certain aspects, they do serve good. They do good stuff for the teachers. I do believe that because people are complex. And, you know, the decisions people make and decisions groups make is complex. But for this one, it just struck me as wrong. It struck me as a little bit, this particular questionnaire, as too much of a political agenda. And if it's one thing I feel very strongly about is politics should not be part of children's education. You know, I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable. And whenever I talk to people, I say the same thing. You know, it should be about educating children. It should be about supporting teachers. It should be about supporting administration and keep your politics out of the school. That's just how I feel about things. And so ultimately, I decided that I'm not going to fill this out. You know, it was a bit wordy. I didn't think it was going to reach the audience that I was trying to reach. So I decided not to.
Okay. I'm going to sneak this last question in, and I'm going to soften it a little bit because I will just say I'll soften it at this point in time. And the question is that challengers have spoken about your faith in public settings when campaigning for school board. And I'll put that out there to frame it. The adjusted question that I'm going to ask is, what is your stance on religion when it comes to its place in public schools? And Christy, I'll start with you on that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's see. I mean, I'm not going to make any kind of secret that I don't establish my faith in God, because I do. I feel like that he has, you know, just been a very integral part of my life. And even in moving here to Emporia, which I really feel like that it was God ordained that we were here. You know, a lot of things happened in Texas that just brought us here, and how it became to be was so far out of our control that I only know that it was God that had that hand in it. So, you know, as far as, you know, religion not having a place in public schools, you know, I feel like that under the Constitution of the United States, we all have religious freedom. You know, and I feel like that we all should be able to express that religious freedom under the Constitution, how we are given our rights to do that. We've had many people fight and die to be able to give us that right. You know, so I feel like that, you know, if a child wants to pray at lunch, you let the child pray at lunch. You know, I mean, I just really feel like if just because you don't have faith in something does not mean that somebody else doesn't. And just because you don't have that faith does not mean that somebody else should not be able to express their faith. So.
Okay. Thank you. Art, what is your position here on the role that religion plays in public schools?
I believe that there should be a healthy separation between church and state, or that idea or philosophy. You know, there's a lot of religions out there, and you know, I think you can practice that at home. I think you can practice that, you know, when you maybe say a prayer before you eat. You don't have to infringe on the people around you with that. You know, I'm a Christian. I go to church. I think it's a great thing. But also, I think when we try to treat each other as individuals and be fair to each other, I think we need to be careful that we're not infringing on other people with our religion or pushing religion on somebody else that doesn't want that, especially because it's going to get to be uncomfortable sometimes. So, you know, we're here to educate kids. I don't think that should include a ton of religion, especially when you talk about, okay, well, which religion do we choose? So I think that's something that should be done in your family unit, you know, when you go to church on Sunday or wherever you go. So, you know, I would stick with a healthy separation between church and school.
Okay. Sam, what's your thoughts here? Role of religion in public schools?
Well, it's important for me, the way I see this, it's important to understand that everybody believes in something. And that whatever faith you may be ascribed to, it's going to direct you. It's going to motivate you. You know, if you have faith, it's going to be part of who you are. So in the sense, you really cannot separate that. Now, as far as actual religious, you know, various denominations in a church, in a school setting, no, I don't think there's necessarily a place for that. That'll make, as Art would say, makes it a bit complicated there. You know, what are you going to do here and there? But I do think it's important to realize when it comes to faith, and I get a lot of critiques on this about wearing my my faith on my sleeve, right, as it would be called. You know what? I'm going to defend myself a little bit here. My faith gives me compassion. My faith gives me that need to show love to the people around me. That faith drives me to share truth, to give grace, not only in my work, in my family. It's just day-to-day with the people around me. That faith makes me who I am, and that's why my faith is important to me. Everyone's driven by something. And, you know, and I would love to share this faith with other people. You know, take it or leave it. Everyone has a journey that they're making on their own. But it's an important journey. And so I would suggest that, you know, we really look what is driving ourselves. And is it the right thing? I think that's important to just respect.
Okay. Linda, you get to answer the question here. What your thoughts are on the role of religion in public schools? And then we'll take our final break.
Okay. I agree with everything that's being said here. And I do not think that religion should be taught in schools. And I understand the separation of church and state. And we came from a country probably where it was a state religion, you know, and we don't have one here in America. And I think I will tell you that my faith is very important to me. And I think it's helped me in my whole life making decisions that I need to make. And so I can express that, but I'm not teaching that. When the little children would ask me, is it all right if I pray right before I eat? And I said, certainly you can. That's your right to do that. You have a God-given right to do that. Is it all right if I pray out in the hallway or at recess? And I said, that's fine. That's perfectly fine for these little teeny kindergarten kids and first graders. And they were really concerned that they would be in trouble if they even prayed. And they would be quiet and they didn't disrupt. I said, as long as you're not disrupting the classroom, you're doing what you're supposed to in the instructions in the classroom, as long as it's in a time where you have a little bit of time to yourself, that's perfectly fine what you do, because we are not stifling anybody. So as how did I get along in school and why did I like it so much? Because God has given me such a love for children and teaching them and helping them. And so I thank him for that opportunity that I have and I still have. So, but definitely, we're not teaching religion in schools. So, like politics, I do not believe politics have anything to do in the classroom. It shouldn't be taught either.
Okay. Let's take our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. This is our final candidate forum and our final segment's coming up next. You're listening to KVOE Live and Local.
At ESB Financial, they think it makes more sense to pay you. That's right. Get paid 5.04% annual percentage yield on balances up to $20,000 with their free Kasasa cash checking account. No monthly service charges or minimum balances to keep, and they will even refund your ATM fees nationwide. All you have to do to earn your rewards are a few simple things each month. The best part? These things make banking easier. Stop by ESB or visit esbfinancial.com to learn more. Special terms may apply. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia in Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
Keeping yourself cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated. Roofing and sheet metal. 805 East 6th in Emporia.
Does your home or business need a refresh but you don't know who to call? Just call the folks at Justice Painting. They're the area's full-service painting, epoxy floor, and concrete polishing provider. They offer residential, commercial, and industrial services throughout the entire listing area. With no job too tall or too small, call Jerem for a quote today for your painting and coating needs. Justice Painting, 620-757-2343. That's 620-757-2343.
Final segment of I knew I was going to do that one point in time with the four programs. Final segment of Candidate Forum here for you today. And again, we encourage you to get out and vote, whether it's the mail ballot process, which got underway last week, the advance voting process, which got underway yesterday, the offsite voting event coming up on Saturday, and also the actual voting day, Election Day, coming up November 7th. We're going to overlap just a little bit here getting into the 11 o'clock hour because we've got one more question to ask. Then we've got our final statements, and then we will conclude things here today. Again, we really want to thank Art Gutierrez, Sam Tovar, Linda Forbes, and Christy Grant for joining us here, and all of the candidates that are running for Emporia offices here for their time the last couple of weeks. This is a multi-part question, so we're going to try to synthesize this a little bit. Question about participation levels at Emporia High School. Also, what the board's role in accountability, especially for sports that don't do well, and also the board's role in helping to create culture at both the high school and the middle school, and specifically it looks like with sports, but maybe just in general terms. So, Arch, you get this wonderful multi-part question to wrap things up before we close it down.
You know, I do agree. I think our participation levels could be better in both sports and activities, whether it's debate and forensics or theater. But again, that takes time to do that. We've had some change in the coaching at the football level, so hopefully good things are going to be coming. That's what I'm expecting. Same thing with basketball. We had a new men's coach, brought some excitement last year. And some activities, I think we have some coaches too. There's a lot of challenges or I guess opportunities for kids that are outside of school, whether it's electronics and other things that are sports that are club sports that are buying for their time. So I really think it's on the coaches to get out there and get in the hallways and find the kids and get them to come out. I mean, that was my personal experience. My earth science teacher, Mr. Dorothy, said, "Hey, you need to come out for wrestling." I never wrestled a day in my life except with my brothers. But he encouraged me to do that, so I went out. That was the only reason. I've never played organized sports in my life, but I did do wrestling because of that. So you know, that's always a work in progress. I guess a part of this is what's the board's role. You know, I think we advocate to the superintendent, to the people that we work with as the board. But again, we're a policy board. So, you know, that our athletic director is in charge of our coaches and monitoring their progress and how they're doing. And so we rely on that person to oversee those programs, and the board's not there to micromanage that. So it's, you know, whenever I hear a concern, I pass it on to the superintendent, and she relays it down to the building principal and to the athletic director, and that's the process that I follow. So, again, I feel like we're in a great place. I would love to see every student involved in a sport or activity or multiple. My kids do always did two or three, and I think it's benefited them. It teaches them a lot of interpersonal skills that I think are going to benefit them from the rest of their lives. So I would encourage participation.
Okay. Sam, what are your thoughts here? Or at least have any thoughts on participation levels being where they are, and what do you see as the board's role when it comes to accountability and culture?
I think participation is critical for a successful student. You know, I think it makes the whole academic experience just more fulfilling. There's a lot to be gained by being part of a sport or an activity. I was not involved in activities in high school, but I did do my very first sport in ninth grade, if you can believe it. You know, I went out for wrestling under Coach Sands, and that guy was a recruiter. you know, and he recruited a lot of us, you know, to go out for wrestling, and we had a lot of state championships underneath him. Then I did some other sports there, but sports are great. They're good for self-confidence. They're good for discipline. They're good for getting achievement, and they're good for keeping kids out of trouble. Mm-hmm. I think that's why my parents kind of said, yeah, do your sports. And so it doesn't have to be sports. We are a nice big school. There's a lot of activities after school activities or clubs. I would encourage, if you're a parent, get your kid involved.
Okay. Linda, what are your thoughts here on participation levels and maybe the board's potential role from your perspective when it comes to accountability and culture with athletics?
Well, I think that Art explained it pretty well, what their role is and how that works. And so that makes sense to me. I wasn't sure how this had to do anything with the school board, and now I understand that. And all of my children were in sports, and a couple of them played through college. And all nine of my grandchildren are in sports, and I know what it helps them with, discipline, teamwork, working with other people. Oh, that's incredible, and to be a part of a team. But if it's an individual sport, you still supporting the person that's running or the person that's participating, like wrestling. You are, you know, you're cheering for them. Parents can get involved. They meet more Parents meet more other parents at meets, and that's, you sit with them, or you walk with them on the track, or you run with them when you do cross country. I mean, so you meet other parents, and then you talk about your student, your child. You talk about what they like and what they're doing and what they're gaining from this. And so I think, and then other activities. Oh my goodness, not everybody wants to be in sports. There's theater, and I have some of my grandchildren doing theater too, but they also do community work, and that's part of the school. They're doing community work. So that's how I'm going to answer the question.
Okay, sounds good. Christy, what's your thoughts here on participation levels, where they are, and the board's role in accountability and culture?
Well, I think for the for the school board's role, you know, I believe that they hire good people to be in, you know, that position to be able to manage the people below them. So right. I think that part of it, you know, unless it has something directly to do with the hiring of the athletic director, you know, I think beyond that, you need to let them do their jobs, you know, and you got to trust them to do the job that you hired them to do. You know, so, and I mean, I don't know, most everybody here probably knows, and y'all are fixing to find out, but I'm a native Texan. We are football in Texas, right? Like that, we live, breathe in all of it. Anyway, so one of the things that the kids, the district that our kids grew up in was, you know, it was the middle school and the high school, they were like very multifaceted with each other. So like they worked really well together regarding sports. So like they, and I'd like to, I don't know if that's what they do here, but you know, if you keep that cross communication with the lower level school, like the middle school, where they start really like playing football and basketball and all that stuff, you know, and work on plays and work on that camaraderie together, you know, through the high school to the middle school, you know, I really feel like that you can have a very successful program up in high school. You know, you kind of got to get them young. You know, you got to teach them in middle school. And then when they get into high school, they'll already know how to do it. And then that would make your program or your sport or whatever it is successful. You know, and as far as everything else goes, you know, music and theater and, you know, I'm a big proponent for all that. I love the arts. I love people being able to use their imagination. I love, you know, I love seeing people up there perform. I mean, I've told Linda this. I love the piano. I could sit and listen to somebody play it forever. So, you know, I love music and I love orchestra and I love all of that. So I feel like that, not that we don't have, you know, so much already that our teachers are required to do now, but, it, you know, to help retain and then recruit those kids, they are on the front lines with these kids. So they know, like they can know, you know, what their strengths would be. You know, necessarily you might have Johnny that's great at football, but you got Mary over here who's wonderful at playing the trumpet. You know, so I feel like that, you know, the teachers and maybe even the staff around, you know, really they can pay attention and just kind of see, you know, hey, maybe this would be something you'd be interested in trying. That's what happened to our son. Like, never in a million years did I think he'd play the clarinet. Mm-hmm. He just happened to have a science teacher that was like, ooh, Chandler, you might be good at this. You know, why don't you give it a try? And he did, and he did really good at it. You know, he didn't stick with it because he was more of a sports-oriented kid. But, you know, he did it, though. But he did it because somebody took a vested interest in him and just kind of said, hey, let's think outside your box and let's try something different. So I think that if you have somebody that's able to help you think outside the box and then support you in thinking outside that box, I think any of this stuff would be – could be very, very successful.
Okay. Let's wrap things up in our closing statement time here with our panel today. And the basic question for your closing statement is, why should voters choose you by November 7th? And Sam, I'll start you with here.
Well, thank you. Hey, I love this Emporia community. It's done so well for me. Just a few things. I stand for common sense. I stand for hard work and values. I stand for compassion, for understanding. And there's two things more I believe. I believe quality education provides a foundation for successful adult living. And I pledge that I'm going to always try to act in the best interest of this community and the students.
Okay. Sam, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Linda Forbes, your closing statement. Why should voters choose you?
Well, I believe the goal of education is to promote the growth and abilities of the students, and we've been talking about that today, to become productive citizens, to make our country and a world a better place. And that's what my children need to be doing. That's what my grandchildren need to be doing. And they, at the same time, they're following their dreams. And a teacher's voice in the classroom or on the side has made a lot of difference, and I've watched that. The teacher would walk over to a student and say, hey, that was really a good drawing that you made. And maybe, have you thought, would you like to do more of that? And that's all it took sometimes. And you could see the kid light up. And then also, a teacher might attend a sports activity and say, I saw you out there. That was a great kick that you made on the soccer field. And, you know, I said, that's really super. Are you on a team, you know, other than this? Or do you plan to stay doing that? And sports, my mother would always say, well, why is everybody just in sports? I said, no, they're in a lot of other things, but sports is a building of a character. And anyway, I have enjoyed so much watching teachers teach. The teachers know in the classroom, they know their students, they know how to teach them. Not everybody learns the same way. Actually, everybody learns different. We think different. We put things together different. So I'm supporting education. I think there's a lot more that we can be doing. There's always things we can be doing. We can't ever sit back and say, oh, we've hit the final say. This is really good. Everything is so, so good. We don't need to do anything. There's always changes that need to be made. And I want to be part of some of the good changes.
Okay. Linda Forbes, thanks again for joining us today. Christy Grant, why should voters choose you by November 7th?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for hosting this forum today. We really appreciate it.
Yes, we're glad to.
Yes. Let's see. You know, I'm running because I want to help represent this awesome community. Like I said earlier, when we moved to it, it was everybody here welcomed us with open arms. You know, and, you know, I want to be able to give back to the community that opened their arms to us so well, you know, so, and I want to help, you know, uphold that educational integrity for our students to make sure and ensure that we are developing and sending out into the world students and people that are productive members of society. So I think I said it in the forum that we were speaking at, you know, earlier, you know, I want people to say, oh, you went to Emporia High School? Oh my gosh, that is awesome. You know, like I want to put Emporia High School on the map. Like I want to put Emporia on the map, and you know, I want to ensure that Emporia is moving on up the ranks of the best high schools, or you know, the best school districts in, you know, in Kansas. You know, so, you know, I really want to I really want to help be a part of that. You know, I understand that that's going to be challenges, and I know that's probably going to be an uphill battle. But you know, I'm all for challenges. I'm all for taking things head on. I'm all for working with other people. I'm all for making sure that we all have a common goal, you know, to make sure that our students are being educated and our teachers are being provided for, to ensure that those students can and will become those productive members of society.
Okay. Christy Grant, thanks again.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Thank you.
All right. Arcaturas, final word. Why should voters choose you by November 7th?
I've enjoyed my 8 years on the board. I feel like there's still work to be done, and I'm ready to be at service. I'm passionate about public education. I'm passionate about Emporia. You know, my number one priority is student achievement and identifying ways that we can increase that, making sure that's a focus when we're at the board table. And with my leadership experience, I'd like to serve another 4 years, so I'd appreciate your vote.
Okay. All right. Thanks again. All right, that wraps up our candidate forum, not only for today, but our candidate forum slate here for the 2023 general election cycle. The general election's November 7th. Get out and vote. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE Live and Local.
Today's candidate forum on KVOE has been brought to you by Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area. Contact Geotech for all of your land surveying needs. By ESB Financial, ESB's notify alerts, real-time alerts for online and mobile.